Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Searching My Soul with Father Cole, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us today Father Cole Crockey. He is going to tell us about some exciting things that he has done the last couple of weeks. Great to see you.
Good to see you. It's actually
you
been
look very refreshed.
Well, thank you.
I mean, super refreshed.
I'm trying to think. I think I've missed the last two shows because I've been traveling. The last two. I was gone in June and then in July. I was also on this trip that I just returned to. It was 32 days. Took a trip to Europe to do a retreat, some vacation, some visiting, just some downtime to get away. Good to be back here.
Well, it's good to see you. I mean it sincerely. You look very relaxed. It's important to get away, isn't
right.
it?
Right. And so, as I kind of mentioned a little bit before, I was driving in, I was listening to some of the sponsors and the advertisers talking about the Great White Lodge and all these other places and using words like, you know, time to re-energize, recreate, recreate, retreat, right? It's important that we take time to take some personal downtime, right? To really kind of reflect. Recreation, recreation, right? And so it's important. And there's always articles that talk about how many vacation days Americans leave on the, you know, they lose because they don't take vacation times. There's this competitiveness sometimes in the workforce where people don't want to leave. They feel like, if I take vacation, you know, no one else is taking vacation. If I take vacation, it's going to be reflect poorly on me.
And or I think it's almost the martyr thing where you don't take vacations because you think the place can't survive without you.
Well, my first year and a half at the Tri-Parishes, I was here 54 weekends straight. And that took a toll. You don't realize it until
you
leave. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know, you just have to kind of get out of your surroundings. There's something refreshing about just mentally being in a different place.
Well, there is, and I think that it sneaks up on you sometimes and you don't realize that you are, I think you're a better person when you take a vacation.
So, but we have to be mindful too, though. Sadly, not everyone can afford, you know, like I did.
Right, but a vacation just to get away and relax. Exactly. I mean, God talks about it. Look at all verses.
Well, that's what I was going to read right now. I'm just going to read from the Gospel according to Mark. This is Mark chapter 6. It's verses 30 to 33, and it says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. He said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them." So that's kind of Jesus telling the disciples, you know, that you need to go by yourselves to a deserted place just to rest. And we know Jesus also, right, took time to get away from the crowds, to go up to the mountain, to go away from the others, just to kind of be alone. What's interesting in this gospel reading, what happens immediately preceding this is the martyrdom of John the Baptist. So they literally, we hear the story of the martyrdom of John the Baptist, the beheading, and we know how much that affected Jesus. And then in the very next verse in that gospel is talking about this need to kind of get away, because guess what? After that is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? That was a lot of work, a lot of energy, gathering the fragments, distributing them, you know, the trust, all of that. And so it's interesting, if you just look at the scripture, this need for recreation, recreation takes place after a very traumatic, sad event with the martyrdom of John the Baptist, but also before one of the great miracles of the feeding of the multitudes. So it's important that we, you know, whether it, you know, the title of this show is Searching My Soul. What does it take to, you know, to search your soul?
Well, it takes relaxation. It takes getting away from it.
It takes silence and just freeing yourself from the distractions.
You know, Matthew, the whole, come to me, all you
who are tired and burdened,
and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
my
true.
My yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Yes, 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 yes. There are just so many reminders that we are supposed to find peace. That and we're supposed to be taking the Sabbath off. I know you
keep holy the Sabbath, right?
Right. Well, keep holy the Sabbath, but really don't do anything. What was the one about plowing, even if your fields are, let me see if I can find it again.
Well, a need for deliberate rest and relaxation.
6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest.
Right. So that's, you know, that's a pretty strong kind of encouragement, but yet a lot of times it kind of falls on deaf ears to our modern world where we're so busy. You know, the fact of the matter, though, too, is there, even though I was away, you know, you're never really away unless you choose to truly be away. And the way you truly choose to be away is by turning off the phone and, you know, we talked a little bit, you know, not watching the news, keeping track of what's feeling like you have to know of everything that's going on at home all the time, right? So I was gone 32 days. I visited Italy, France, Spain, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands. But the best place that I went, and that's what I kind of want to talk about, because that's a topic today with the retreat, was Lourdes, France. So I'd never been to Lourdes before. Have you ever been to Lourdes?
I have not.
So you know who, what saint came from Lourdes? Saint Bernadette.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Saint Bernadette. There's that movie, The Song of Bernadette, right? She was a little peasant girl at 10 or 11 years old, went down to get water at the well, and Mary appeared to her, right? And so you go today into Lourdes, and it's just this amazingly, it's a beautiful little town. But you can go to the grotto and see the grotto where the apparition happened, and you can go tour her home. And she was very, very humble, just like, much like Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, right? Was a young girl. It was a, it was a, just a peaceful and relaxing place. Now it's a place also that has, you're kind of surrounded by tragedy in the sense that people flock there who are suffering from all sorts of sicknesses and ailments. And actually when I was there, I took part in a procession from one of the local French dioceses where they probably had maybe 100 people that were in wheelchairs and gurneys and on crutches and walkers, and they all had people that were helping them. But they do this procession
every day.
This was a special healing procession from the diocese, so it was a pilgrimage. They were doing a pilgrimage. They came from their whatever village in France to Lourdes. They brought their local bishop, and there's this procession. And then in front of the basilica, I was observing this. There's the prayers, the anointings, the blessings, and then they go in, and you you're bathed in the water of Lourdes. There is the adoration. There's the grotto, the rosary, the candlelight procession, all this stuff. So I did the way of the cross. I took a retreat day there to kind of partake in many of these events. So even in the midst of my very busy kind of driving vacation, we drove 3,500 miles over the course of 28 days, eight
countries.
That was
your day of rest.
Right. And then I also did this similar thing in Lisieux and in Rome also.
Was it commercialized at all? Like a lot of
no, so
which is good,
right? So when you talk about Lourdes, for a lot, I think this was my first time there, and a lot of people, you know, I've heard it referred to before as like Catholic Disneyland, in the sense where it's a destination for
But it's not commercial like Disneyland.
No, Disneyland is one stop. Everything there, right? Is you have everything you need. You got the food, the theater, the this, the that, right? Lourdes is one stop spiritual shop. Mm-hmm. You have the adoration. You have the grotto, you have the baths, you have the reconciliation chapel, you have the anointings. It was just this, you have this beautiful area along the river where people light their vigil candles, right? And now we're used to like going into our local churches and, you know, you drop, you know, a quarter or a dollar or two.
It's $2 now.
You know, and you light a candle that lasts a couple days. There were candles there that were probably 6 feet in 6 feet tall.
Wow.
And they would burn for 6 months.
So
and people would actually write on this candle, this huge candle, they would write the name of every deceased member or their special intention. So you could go in and you could see the names of who or what intention that candle was lit for.
It's
now,
beautiful.
There were candles, everything from, you know, a 50-cent little votive candle that lasted, you know, 30 minutes to these massive candles, but there was always an intention behind it. And now we don't believe that just because you light a candle, all of a sudden your intention is going to be made true. What it is it reminds us of a physical action of what we're remembering, right? So it's why we pray for the dead. It's why we our prayers have merit. They have actions. And that's just as kind of a physical manifestation that after we leave, that candle is kind of still there burning.
And for more people to pray when they see the candle.
Absolutely.
Oh, that must have been so moving.
It was.
How big of an area
was
this?
They have six, almost like, think of like, you go to Como Park and there's those pavilions.
Yes.
You know, there's like six of those pavilions lined up, and they all were just burning with candles. And it was amazing. I mean, you saw people just trekking all down there with their candles that they had blessed, and then they did their prayer intention. And I lit a couple candles for a couple people to ask me for some intentions before I left. And so I went ahead and did that. But then, you know, an opportunity to do the rosary at the Grotto of Lourdes and to go and stand actually where Saint Bernadette was. You know, you toured her home where she was, you know, she was a very poor peasant girl. Her father was a miller, very, very hardworking, a lot of kids. So many of them died in infancy. I mean, that was one thing with the people that I was with. We were looking at her, all of her relatives, and it was like, gosh, to have children in the early 1800s that lived past 3 or 4 years old was incredibly rare. I mean, it was very, very sad to see how much misery, you know, these families experienced back then and what these conditions that they lived in. And yet, you know, Bernadette was so
faithful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, she was recognized as a saint, you know, for that. But the Grotto of Lourdes, the whole basilica, you have to see it to kind of believe it. The one of the difficult things was I was there on the hottest day of the year. I don't know if you heard that Europe went through a heat wave.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was there in the midst of the heat wave, and I think Lourdes, the day that I was there, was 98. And actually, it wasn't the hottest day. The next day, it was going to be over 100, and it was almost unbearable. It was almost stifling. But down by the river, it was so cool just along the river, and there's this beautiful breeze.
And that's where she went down to get the water.
The water, right? And you can drink from the spring. They have taps there.
Is that a miracle?
No, it's just it's a spring.
Okay.
But it's, you know, there's Lourdes water is kind of looked at as kind of being particularly, you know, healing water because of it's the site of the miracle and the apparition. And then Lourdes is a healing place where people flock from all over the world to bathe in the waters. But you drink the spring water, and it was the coolest, just best water. I mean, you can fill, we filled our water jugs up with us, and we drank it the next day, and we were all like, wow, this was like literally the best, crispest, clearest, cleanest water. It was interesting to kind of take place of all those aspects. And then at night, there's a candlelight procession where you have your vigil candles, and you follow the Blessed Sacrament. So that was a full day, kind of a retreat day of partaking of a lot of these various devotions that kind of take your mind off of what's going on maybe in the world, and you're able to kind of just focus. You don't have to go thousands of miles away to do that. You can do that. Some people, they can do that in their, you know, in the park. They can maybe do that in their backyard when they do gardening, right? For them, that's what gives them energy, is their gardening or their work. And I always run into people who say, you know, is it okay for me to do, you know, on Sunday, is it okay for me to do all this stuff? And I say, you know, it is, because it's not work. You enjoy it, right? People going out, for some people now, ask Jack if it's recreation to him to go out and weed the backyard.
It's not
recreation for him. That would be work. But you know, there are people who, for them, weeding and tending and pruning their garden, it's anything but work.
Right.
It gives them satisfaction
nature.
Right. To see what they have accomplished. And so you don't have to go far and wide, but what you have to do is you have to take that time to just be quiet, be still, and be open to the graces of how we're called to live in this life. So like the Fatima children, Mary gave a command, you know, and even Juan Diego on the mountain, you know, build this shrine, pray the rosary. I don't recall. In fact, I was going to review it. So, but it was an apparition, a miracle that attracted and drew thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people early on. So Lourdes has been a pilgrimage site for over 100, I think it was 160 years was the anniversary that they were celebrating when I was there. Now, a couple of years ago, they had massive flooding, and the river came through the town and actually flooded out the grotto. It didn't have to be rebuilt because it's a grotto, it's all natural. But like all of the lighting and all of the outside seating that they did around the grotto, they had to redo that. But the church is actually built, the basilica is actually built on the grotto. So the grotto is built into the foundation of the huge basilica.
Really?
It's on the, yeah, it's amazing. So like to find the grotto, you go down and you literally follow the church wall. And in this church, there's actually two churches on top of each other. There's the big church, and then there's another church on top. Just this kind of this huge courtyard where they do these processions. You know, you kind of stop for the blessings, but it almost looks like, doesn't it look like a castle?
It does.
Yeah. So when you talk about kind of like Catholic Disneyland, it's like you have the castle there, but it's actually the basilica. It's very green and very peaceful.
Well, it's nice to hear that it hasn't turned commercial.
No.
Because
right.
Otherwise that's that would river. Take away the peacefulness of it.
Yeah, so that was the probably the most moving of the places. Now, I did some retreat and pilgrimage time in a couple other cities, but that was the most impactful. And I think people kind of had told me that without kind of influencing me, and they said, you know, you're going to find Lourdes is probably the most peaceful and relaxing of the religious places that you visit. Mm-hmm. And I did find that to be true.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that you did in fact have some downtime.
Yeah.
And some beautiful rest.
And remember to take that time to rest and recreate. Recreation, recreate.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Searching My Soul with Father Cole is heard on AM 1460, AM and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.